treat for you this morning. I'm not preaching. Yay! Hey, I thought that would get a bigger response. Justin Cherry is here. If you were in our adult Bible class this morning, you got to hear an update on how they're doing in New Zealand. But I was going to introduce the whole family, but I know Jennifer's taking Zane back to Kids Praise. But Justin, Jennifer, I'm going to get the order right. Riley, Gavin, and Zane.
That's
do it in the right order. Birth order is very important, people, okay? They're all here with us. We oftentimes say our missionaries are taking a break. No, they're doing their work here stateside for a little while, but Justin is very busy meeting with churches, and he's doing a lot. He may be more busy now than he was over there. But we're glad that he's here this morning. He's going to preach to us, and the exciting thing is, you guys, we've got some, I don't know, what would you call these? What are these favors? What are these?
These are blessings from heaven called glow sticks.
Okay, it's an object lesson.
Yeah.
So I've got some men that are going to pass out. Yeah, that's you guys in the t-shirts.
But look, don't be playing with these glow sticks yet.
Don't break them. Wait until the children left to pass these out.
Yeah.
Okay? So do not be playing. There's be a time in his lesson that this all becomes readily apparent of what you're supposed to do with
You'll know when it's time because there's this disco ball that's going to come out of the... No.
This is why you should never let missionaries preach. This is it right here. Justin and Jennifer have been in New Zealand now for 9 years. We've been partnering with them. We're excited for the work that they're doing, for all that they're doing over there. And Justin, I know we've probably already done this, but I want to pray over you and over your work there and just over what you're going to share this morning and just ask God to bless us.
Cool.
Let's pray. Father God, we love you, and Lord, we are thankful for your servant Justin, for all that he does, for his heart, for the lost. Lord, we know that he works in a very difficult place where folks just don't really want to hear about Jesus much. And so I pray that you'd give him strength and courage, give him the boldness we know that he has, and allow his words to just find the right hearers. Lord, we pray for open hearts, for open opportunities to build relationships, to lead all the folks that he'll meet and build relationship with, that they will all be led to Christ. Lord, we're thankful for his words this morning. Open our hearts. We say as listeners that we're ready to receive. And in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Jeff. Greetings from New Zealand and from Discover Church. Also, we have two New Zealanders here with us. This is Sharon Maisie and her son Jordan. Can you guys just give a little wave? I won't make you stand. They have cool accents. Go talk to them after church. I am such a good preacher that Sharon has flown thousands of miles to come hear me. Sharon, I'm humbled. I'm humbled. Yeah. Now they are. Their daughter is going through the AIM program in Lubbock, and actually, she went through AIM. Sorry, she is now in almost her second year of Sunset International Bible Institute, and she has a dream of putting a team together and coming back to New Zealand and planting a church with a team. So she is working diligently to try to do that. I want to make you aware of the significance of what this is. This is a New Zealander who has grown up under a godly home, who has come to America to get training to go back to New Zealand to plant a church, and that is huge. So we are praying for that. We are praising God for that. And we have discovered church. We've gotten to play a very small part of getting to see this happen. And so we are just blessed that you guys are here with us today. So what I want to talk to you guys this morning about relates to something that I've learned in 9 years of trying to do mission work in New Zealand. Anytime I come here and I get to speak to you, it's a privilege. I love preaching. So I want to talk to you about what's going on in New Zealand, but I think God is doing a much bigger thing in the world, and so I want to make sure that I'm adequately bringing the Scripture and Jesus to you so that you have something to do with this. I don't want ever to have a sermon that we leave and just be like, let's go eat. I want this to be something that we all leave here and go, I need to do something. I need to move. I need to follow Jesus. So we're going to talk a little bit about brokenness. Now, in New Zealand, one of the things that's very interesting when you start to talk to somebody is they really could care less about what you have to say about Jesus of eternity if you have nothing to say about Jesus now. Does that make sense? So if all you can do is sit down and talk to them about what's going to happen when this earth is completely destroyed and we blow up into a ball of fire and Jesus will, you know, take us like aliens to another ship that will be awesome, they could care less. I don't really preach that, guys, I promise. But they don't care about eternity to come if you have nothing to say about how Jesus is restoring and making this world better now. And so it's made me do some interesting studies. Now, if you were to type into Bible Gateway the words heaven and hell together, you would get zero results. Nowhere in Scripture does Jesus or anyone else talk about heaven and hell in the same sentence. But if you were to type in the words heaven and earth, you will get over 200 results together. Jesus had something he wanted to tell us about heaven that is and is now and is to come and the earth that we live in now. There's something very important that he wants to teach us through this. When he teaches his disciples to pray, he says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." In John 6, Jesus says that I am the bread that came down from heaven, and if you will eat my flesh and you will drink my blood, you will have eternal life. And he is constantly referring to this idea of what I could only assume is heaven coming down. Breaking through. It's almost like in his prayer that he teaches them, that Matthew 6, John 11, Luke 11 prayer, that Jesus is trying to teach us something about what heaven looks like now in our communities and in our neighborhoods and in our families and in our individual lives. And when I look at what's going on in New Zealand, I very much see what needs to happen. Now, making and implementing is a completely different thing. That's very hard. That's where we need Jesus to break through our lives and in the communities. But when I look at what's going on in New Zealand, there's and especially where we live in West Auckland, there's lots of brokenness in it. And if we're not careful, we let ourselves stay within that brokenness because brokenness becomes a comfortable reality. That if I don't know what the unknown brings, I don't know, you talk about this Jesus who could possibly make things better, and you say we'll make things better, but you know what? I'm comfortable because I know how to maneuver in my brokenness. And we see brokenness as a bad thing, but I'm not sure Jesus ever saw it as a bad thing. I think he saw it as something to not just overcome, but to work through and to have power through. And so I want to talk to you guys a little bit about that this morning. When Jesus talks of kingdom, and this is something that before we're going to, if you want to turn your Bibles, we're going to be in John chapter 4. We're going to look at the woman at the well, which is one of my favorite passages of Scripture. When he talks about kingdom and heaven, he uses powerful language like the kingdom of God is at hand, the kingdom of God is coming, the kingdom of God is now, and it's in you, and it works through you, and you can have it now. And if you see this from the imagery of an Israelite and a Jew, this is powerful news because for a Jew and an Israelite especially, they saw the kingdom as something that will come later, that's something they have to aspire to or wait for. And here's Jesus coming and saying, no, it's now. It's come to you now. You can have it now. You can experience it now. So let's look at the woman at the well and let's enter this idea of brokenness and let's see what Jesus can teach us about brokenness and how he works through it. So John chapter 4, see, this is what happens when you don't bring a real Bible and you try to use your technology and it doesn't want to work. We're going to get it. Or not. Oh, there it is. You got to know your password if you want to get into things, people. I mean, just saying. All right, John chapter 4. Starting in verse 1, Jesus realized, and I'm reading out of the Message, so I know it'll sound a little different than probably your translation, but just listen if you can't follow along with it. Jesus realized that the Pharisees were keeping count of the baptisms that he and John performed, although his disciples, not Jesus, did the actual baptizing. They had posted the score that Jesus was ahead, turning him and John into rivals in the eyes of the people. So Jesus left the Judean countryside and went back to Galilee. To get there, he had to pass through Samaria. He came into Sychar, a Samaritan village that bordered the field Jacob had given his son Joseph. Jacob's well was still there. Jesus was worn out by the trip. He sat down at the well. It was noon. Now, here's something very important to understand. I'm not sure Jesus had to go through Samaria. I think he wanted to. I think his have to was, I feel it, I have to do this. Like, God, my Father, is using me to do something. I have to go through here. It probably was the quicker way, but it was also the way that a lot of the Jews would have feared, we're going to die. And so there's a lot of them. Constantly, Jesus is taking his disciples into places where I think they just assume, this is it, guys. I mean, we believe Jesus. He's our Savior. He's going to get us killed. So we're going to, let's go. Let's go die. And so he's leading them to Samaria. Now, it says it's about noon. This is the hottest time of the day. Keep that in mind as we go through the rest of the story, because it plays a very significant part as to what's going on and what Jesus is doing. So he got to the well. It's about noon. Verse 7 says, a woman, a Samaritan, came to draw water. Jesus said, would you give me a drink of water? His disciples had gone to the village to buy food for lunch. The Samaritan woman, taken back, asked, how come you, a Jew, are asking me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink? Jews in those days wouldn't be caught dead talking to Samaritans. Jesus answered, if you knew the generosity of God and who I am, you would be asking me for a drink, and I would give you fresh living water. The woman said, sir, you don't even have a bucket to draw with, and this well is deep. So how are you going to get this living water? Are you a better man than ancestor Jacob, who dug this well and drank from it? He and his sons and livestock and passed it down to us. Jesus said, everyone who drinks this water will get thirsty again and again. Anyone who drinks the water I will give will never thirst, not ever. The water I give will be an artisan spring within gushing fountains of endless life. The woman said, sir, give me this water so I won't ever have to get thirsty, won't ever have to come back to this well again. This is huge. This gives you a huge insight. If we as people will actually sit down and listen, and don't listen to come up with a rebuttal, and don't listen to people to come up with a conversation to say, but actually listen to hear what's going on in their life, they will tell you a lot. They will tell you what is bothering them and what makes them happy, what makes them excited, what makes them sad or scared. But often when we sit down to listen, we're not actually listening. We've already started formulating in our head what my next thought will be in answer to whatever conversation you have started. And especially when it comes to talking about Jesus, we work in our head how I'm going to answer your question. But there's always something behind the main thing that's going on. And with this woman, there's something huge going on. Jesus, give me this water that you talk about, this living water. Because what she thinks he's saying is that somewhere around here, there is a stream that I can actually go get my water from instead of having to go to this well. This woman is in her city or in her town at noon, the hottest time of the day, gathering water for her day. This isn't like going to your faucet. This is walking possibly miles and miles with buckets to fill up, some for your laundry, some for your cooking, some for your drinking, and that would be for the day, and you have these heavy buckets and you go back. This woman is at the hottest time of the day when no one is there because she doesn't want to be around anybody. Now, we don't know why yet, and if you read the story, you probably know why. But at this point in the story, if you're just listening, all you know is she's avoiding something. She doesn't want to be where everybody is because the well is a social gathering spot of a community. It would be the place that they would go to talk and catch up. It's where the good gossip happened. You know, I mean, we go to the well. Now we go to Starbucks. But whatever it is for you, you go and you catch up. So here they are. She's asking for this living water. And we're going to get to the heart of the matter now. So she says, give me this endless water. Verse 16, Jesus said, go call your husband and then come back. She says, I have no husband. He said, that's nicely put. I've had no husband. You've had five husbands, and the one you're living with now isn't even your husband. You spoke the truth, sure enough. Now, I don't know how Jesus did this, because in my mind when I read this, if I'm doing this, I've just offended the woman. I mean, I've just called her out on something, and we're about to throw down, and she's going to beat me up. I don't know. But Jesus somehow had this ability to just say things as they were in a very, I imagine, a calm way. And she comes back with kind of her own little rebuttal. Oh, says verse 19, so you're a prophet. Well, tell me this. Like, let me test you a little bit. Our ancestors worship God at this mountain, but the Jew insists that Jerusalem is the only place for us to worship, right? Jesus says in verse 21, believe me, woman, that the time is coming when you Samaritans will worship the Father neither here at this mountain nor there in Jerusalem. Your worship, guessing, is in the dark. We Jews worship in the clear light and day. God's way of salvation is made available through the Jews, but the time is coming, it has in fact come, when what you are called will not matter, and where you go to worship will not matter. Verse 23, it's who you are and the way you live that count before God. Your worship must engage the Spirit in the pursuit of truth. That's the kind of people the Father is out looking for, those who are simply and honestly themselves before Him in their worship. God is sheer being itself Spirit. Those who worship Him must do it out of the very being, their spirit, their true selves in adoration. Verse 25, the woman said, I don't know about that, but I do know that when the Messiah is coming, when He arrives, He will tell the whole story. Verse 25, Jesus says, I am He. You don't have to wait any longer or look any further. This is huge. Okay, so here's this woman who is going from relationship into relationship into relationship, and she's looking for something. She has no community that we can see. She's avoiding the town, and she's going from man to man looking for fulfillment and not finding it in any. And then here's Jesus who comes along and says, but if you had me, you would find all the fulfillment you needed. There's this idea that brokenness stops us in our tracks. And that is a lonely place to be. I'm going to tell you a really great parenting moment because I am such a good dad. When you hear this story, you're going to be like, man, this guy, he could teach some classes. So we were at Mardell. See, it's already starting good. We were at a religious store, okay? So it's already good. And we're looking, my daughter's looking for a Bible, and my middle son's, I don't know what he's doing, he's all over the place. And my littlest one, who is a tyrant, we love, but he's playing trains, and we need to move to another section. And he will not come with us because the trains are here. And I'm like, Mardell, like, you're supposed to sell Bibles, not trains. Like, you'll put toys in here. So he's playing with these trains. He will not come. Nothing we do is going to get him to go. Jennifer and the kids are over that way. And I was like, I got an idea. Good parenting moment. I'm going to leave him. That's what I'm going to do. And so I do. I was like, bye, Zane. He's like, bye. I was like, here we go. He looked out. I'm like, all right. And I get over here, and I'm never going to leave him. I mean, I'm not an awful parent. And so I keep an eye, and I'm looking at him. I'm like, this is going to be great. He's going to see, and he's going to start running. He looks up, and he's just playing, and he just kind of goes. And he just starts bawling in the middle of Mardell. And now the staff hear it, and they think we have an abandoned child alert. And I'm just waiting. I am waiting for the announcement. Someone has left their child at trains. I mean, he's freaking out. I'm running, going, I'm here, buddy. It's okay. And he runs. I pick him up. He's crying. He's telling me how bad of a dad I am. He's like, you left me. And here's the thing. It gave me the best picture of what loneliness must feel like. A bad parenting moment, I learned more than I was trying to teach my son. Because at the end of the day, he wasn't asking me to play with him. And he wasn't asking me to do anything but just be there with him. And this woman, I don't know how many years, has been going to a well by herself, and nobody will just sit and be. She doesn't need anybody to get her water. She doesn't need anybody to have conversation with her necessarily, even though I'm sure she would like it. She just needs somebody to be there with her. In our churches, we have made brokenness a place to come and hide. We come and we see how everybody's doing, and we give fake answers sometimes. Sometimes they're true. How you doing? I'm good. But we come here and we can hide our brokenness. And then we wonder why the world doesn't want to come and be a part of it with us. But when you read the Gospels, brokenness was a place that you came together in a community to find healing, to find revival, to find restoration, to find transformation. And Jesus is about to do something really, really spectacular through this. When heaven comes down, restoration happens. When heaven comes down, brokenness does not die. Brokenness is turned into something completely else, something completely beautiful. So when I get really stressed or need some really calming music, I go to Bob Marley. Huge Bob Marley fan. It's just chill. And you can just, I mean, he just starts singing and you're like, nope. Everything gonna be all right. Yep, okay, Bob. Okay, so anyway, Bob Marley had this really good quote. On one occasion, he was supposed to be performing at a big concert, and he gets shot, okay? So he goes straight to get stitched up, gets the bullet taken out of him, gets all fixed up, and he goes to the concert and performs this amazing concert in front of thousands of people. He's interviewed afterwards, and they say, what were you thinking? Like, why, what's going on? Why would you do that? Like, you just got shot. People are trying to kill you for the message that you're sending to the world. Why would you do this? And he said, look, evil has always been around. Evil never sleeps. Evil never stops. So neither can I. So I go light up the darkness. It's an amazing quote. And I can't think of a quote that is more true of our lives in Jesus Christ and what he's calling us to do. Because you're right, evil never sleeps, it never stops. So we gotta light up the darkness. You know, glow sticks are interesting things. They're made up of two chemical compounds. The first one I can't say right, but it's phosphorus something ester. See, that's how good I can say it. Where I wrote it down, phenyl oxalate ester. I don't know if you guys are chemical people, scientists, doctors, some of you may know that is. I do know what hydrogen peroxide is, and that is in this as well. So hydrogen peroxide is also in this little, if you hold them up, you can kind of say this little, there's like a little tube in there that the other compound is kept in. Now, hydrogen peroxide is the activator. It is actually the thing that needs to mix with the other chemical in order to make the solution brighten up the fluorescent colors that are inside this thing. This outside is really just the casing. It's just the housing for the light. That's all it is. So what I want you to do is I want you to take these and I want you to break them. Break yours up. Ooh, mine's blue. I didn't know it was going to be blue. I'm excited. I don't know what colors you guys got, but I got blue. Look at that. I mean, what a cool little invention somebody's come up with. I mean, Navy SEALs use these things. They're just neat. Now, there's got to be a point to this, right? Yeah, I mean, there really is a point. Here's my point. In our life, we look at our brokenness, and we just want to hang out in it. We want to, you know, just let it consume us. Because what else do you do with brokenness? We hide it. We run away from it. And Jesus says, your brokenness is actually where I live. It's actually where I work the most powerful. And you know what? Some things have to be broken to work well. Our life in Christianity is about owning our brokenness. It's about saying, I know I'm messed up and I need Jesus. It's about looking to Jesus and saying, you, Jesus, in me, be the activator by which I light up the world. Your brokenness does not define you. In Jesus Christ, working through you, it is the very power of God in the world. Your brokenness does not disqualify you from doing the work of God in the kingdom. It actually, with Jesus, qualifies you because people are looking to other people who can say, I know what you're going through. Two of the most powerful words you can ever say when you're working with anybody, whether they're in the same spot you are, in a better spot or in a worse spot, is me too. I know what it feels like to hurt. I know what it feels like to be broken. And your brokenness may be different, but we have got to learn to stop hiding it, especially in the church. If we at Discover Church were ever to put up a front and I was to get up there and pretend like I've got my act together, I would lose everything that we have worked for. Now, I'm not getting up there making up my brokenness. I'm not like, okay, today I'm going to be an alcoholic today. This will be okay. I mean, it's not that. But we have got alcoholics in our church. We have got addicts in our church. We've got people who have come from abuse in our church. We have people who are participating in abuse in our church. We have people abusing their workplace, their family. And we look at the church and we hide because we're supposed to have our stuff together. And then we wonder why the church is not growing, because the world looks at us and says, I know you're broken and I can't come and trust you. But if we would own our brokenness and let Jesus come in and show what brokenness looks like with him at the wheel, with him taking charge, and we go out to community and we say, I'm broken too, but I found a way, then I promise you, people will come. They will want to hear more about who is this person that brokenness lives in and can reside in. Watch what happens. So the disciples come. They don't get it. They live like we do. They're like, Jesus, why are you talking to a woman? Why are you talking to this woman who doesn't have a man around her? And when did you eat? Like, what do you mean? What are you talking? What's going on? And so in the meantime, it says in verse 31, in the meantime, the disciples pressed him, Rabbi, eat. Are you going to eat? He's like, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. And they're puzzled. He's going to go on to tell them about a harvest that's coming. Now, something I've never connected together. The apostles, this is not just a figurative speech that he's giving them. They are about to physically reap a harvest of new followers of Jesus that they had nothing to do with. This woman did. The very first evangelist, or one of the first evangelists we ever see in Scripture, is a Samaritan woman, adulterer, who should never have known the gospel. Jesus entrusted his mission to go reach Samaritans to this woman who is completely and utterly broken. And he says, you are the one that I need to lead them because they will listen. I don't need somebody who's got their act together. They will listen to you because you're going to go to the very people who despise you and mistreated you and hated you, and you're going to tell them that the Messiah is here for them. And so she goes and she does that. She goes to them and she says, I met this guy and I think it could be the Messiah. And they're all like excited and they go to meet him. And then later on in the chapter, they say to the woman, they say, now we believe that Jesus is who he says he is. Not because you said so, because we heard it. We experienced it. And we believe that he really is the Savior of the world. Brokenness is a powerful, powerful tool when mixed with Jesus Christ. When mixed with Jesus Christ, we get to go out into the world and we get to light up the darkness. So I'm going to do this. I'm going to offer a little invitation. Because invitations just aren't for when you want to get baptized. Invitations are for when you have this realization that my life needs to be different. That Jesus needs to come in and needs to enter me, and I need to live different. I need to live and own who I am and how God has created me. And I need to go out and I need to witness to people. I need to go as Jesus and be hospitable to people and love people and care for people and listen to people. And so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to end with, can you go to that next slide? I told you guys I would tell you what I do with people when I talk to them. Most people want to know what's going on in the world. I didn't create this, but if I did, this is what it would look like, because I can only draw stick figures. My daughter and my wife can do really cool picture stuff. But this was created by a guy named James Chong, who was a campus minister out in Berkeley, California, one of the most secular schools, and this guy is out evangelizing and baptizing and everything else. I took it, I made it kind of fit for our context in New Zealand. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you the 5-minute spiel of what I believe God is doing on in this world. And if you are convicted that you need to live a different way, if you are convicted that you do have brokenness, whatever level it is, and that you need Jesus Christ, this invitation is for you. It's for me. It's for all of us that know that we cannot live without Jesus Christ in our life, and that we do need to light up the darkness, and we do need to go out in our community, whether it be Trophy Club or Keller or wherever you live, Roanoke, I mean, wherever it is, that we realize we have got to get out of these four walls and we have got to go light up the darkness, because Satan does not sleep and neither do we. That we will go and we will love and we will heal and we will, this is the greatest thing Jesus does. Not only did Jesus use this woman to go evangelize to the people that she despised and they despised her, he restored her back to community. Throughout the Gospels, this is what Jesus is constantly doing. He's restoring people back to community, he's restoring them physically, and he's restoring them spiritually. When Jesus enters your brokenness, you will find community. When Jesus enters your brokenness and you allow him to work, you will be healed, both spiritually and physically. And I'm not saying that it's always going to look like we think, but you will find community that will help heal you even more. And then you go out and you can reach out to other people and you can help other people find Jesus too. So here's the thing. In the beginning, everything was perfect. There's three levels to this. And I teach, this is what I teach when I teach evangelism at South Pacific Bible College. I give them 18 pages of documents, so we're not obviously going to do that. But this is 5 minutes, the best I can tell you. There are three levels. We were created perfectly. God had relationship with us, and we walked and we talked with God. It was a beautiful thing. And then God made us a helper and an equal partner in life, and we knew how to handle that perfectly. And we looked at each other with complete admiration because everything came from God. Our worth and our glory, everything came from God. So when we looked at each other, I didn't care what you thought about me because everything came from God. So when I looked at you, all I thought was, how do I help you today? How do I love you today? How do I serve you today? So we had this perfect relationship, and then we had this perfect relationship with the world. Genesis tells us that we, if we took care of the land took care of us. We were created for good. But then our selfishness and our evil desires enter the world, and we thought, I know what's best for my life. I can make my own decisions. God, I do not need you. And damage entered ourselves, our selfishness. And so what happened is it broke everything. It created barriers around everything. And no longer did we have this good relationship with God where we could walk and we could talk with him. That was stopped because now we had that connection was broken. There was no holiness between us. And then what happened is we stopped looking to God for all those things that we needed, like our worth and our desires. And when I started looking at each other, we started thinking, I wonder if you like what I'm wearing today. I wonder if you think I fit in. Do I sound weird? Do I talk weird? Are we going to get along? I mean, everything, insecurity demolished us, and brokenness came in further. And we quit taking care of the land. And I'm not going to get a big harp on that, but I mean, we stopped taking care of the land stopped taking care of us, and everything got harder. Everything started getting harder. So we were damaged by evil. But enter Jesus Christ. In the middle of our brokenness, in the middle of our damage, in the middle of everything going on, heaven broke open, heaven came down, Jesus came down into our brokenness and said, I will show you a better way. Randy Harris says of John 6 and John 13, he says, when you look to Jesus and you see him talking about being the bread of life and you see him serving people, that what he's actually saying is you are never more like a human that you're supposed to be than when you see what Jesus is doing and you start to live like that. And you are never more like God and how God would want you to be than when you see Jesus doing those things, being food and being a slave to other people. Jesus entered down into our brokenness and he said, through me, I will connect you back to the Father. Through me, you can now have glory again and you can have your worth again, not from every individual who's going to judge you and tell you who you are, but through God himself who tells you, I made you perfect. I made you as you should be and I will use you as you should be. As a unique individual you are. And so Jesus says, I've come down. Not only that, he says, I will connect you to the Father, but I will also show you how to take care of each other. Watch what I do. Listen to what I do, and you will restore your relationship to one another. One of the biggest things I see in New Zealand as to what will help people connect to Jesus is our ability to be Jesus to them. Our ability to go out and just love and say, I don't know what this is going to happen between us. I don't know if you're going to give your life to Jesus and follow him or not, but I tell you what, no matter what you do, it will not change what I do. I will love you like Jesus. I will serve you like Jesus, and I will help you in every way I possibly can. Jesus comes down. He restores our relationship to God. He restores our relationship to each other. But the problem is we still live in a damaged world. No matter what's going on right now, we are still in this damaged world. We've been restored. This guy said redeemed for good. I say restored for better. Same thing. But he says, you know what? I'm going to show you a different way. You know, when I talked about earlier, kingdom come, kingdom is here, kingdom is active, kingdom is working now, and the Jews should be excited about that. This is what we should be excited about. Jesus has come down, and he says, now together through me, you go out and you heal. You, as the people of God, get to go out and light the darkness up, and you get to let me enter into your brokenness. And that whole thing of some things have to be broken to work well, you have to own your brokenness, say, Jesus, I need you in my life, and then you get to go out and heal relationships, connect people back to God. When we talk about in Scripture that heaven has come down, it's not just Jesus coming down, because when you gave your life to Jesus, heaven came down into your life, and it said that in the heavens, the angels were rejoicing. And when you go out and you help someone else connect to Jesus, heaven comes down a little more. And when you go and you restore brokenness in community and you help people get over and break the cycle of abuse in their life and addiction in their life, heaven comes down even more. Heaven is not something that is just coming. Heaven is something that is now happening. And we should be excited about that, and we should be working that, because Jesus has invited us to be a part of it. We have been sent out to heal together. You want to see churches grow? You want to see Jesus' name known? Get out together. It's really hard to ignore a lot of people. Work together. I don't know where you're at tonight or today. See, we do church at night. I'm so used to tonight. By the way, you should do church at night. It's fantastic. I don't know where you're at this morning, but I do know this. I know this church loves God, loves Jesus, and loves mission. I'm living proof that this church loves mission. We've been together for 9 years in New Zealand, probably closer to 11 years total. If you will give even a tenth of the love you have for my family to your community, Lake Cities will boom. It will blow up. Imagine what happens if you give 50%, 100%. I don't know where you are this morning, but I do know this. If you will allow Jesus to own, or if you will own your brokenness and allow Jesus to enter your brokenness, he will use you in amazing ways. And he will send you to places you never imagined, and you will reach people you never thought of. I love you guys. Thank you for your time. Enjoy your glow sticks. Give them to the kids.